when they were able to see staffing improve because we were taking information we gained from CRR and we were applying it to the budget process, I think that's when the light bulb really clicked on for a lot of our folks.
You're listening to CRR Radio from the Vision 2020 Project. Welcome to CRR Radio. My name's Ed Camo. Today, we're going to be taking a look at CRR at the Rogers, Arkansas Fire Department and the role that CRR plays in ISO, CFSC, and firefighter safety. So let's get into it. Tom, could you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm Tom Jenkins. I'm a fire chief for the city of Rogers, Arkansas, and also serve as the current first vice president on the International Association of Fire Chiefs. So excited to be here.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. Can you tell us a little bit about Rogers?
Well, Rogers is situated in northwest Arkansas, very near to Missouri and Oklahoma, and we're part of the northwest Arkansas metropolitan area, which is kind of a unique area in that it's composed of about four major cities with a total population of about 500,000, but each of those cities fluctuate around 100,000 people, and we're a seven-station fire department, fully career organization, with 132 career members. Unique to us, especially in relation to risk reduction, is that a couple of years ago we took over not only the fire marshal functions, which normally include fire investigation, code enforcement, plan review, public education, but we also manage the civilian functions that are normally housed in like a building inspections department. So those are all underneath the fire department umbrella and especially important in risk reduction processes. So neat place to work, home of Walmart and a couple of other Fortune 500 companies. So just really a lucky place to be fire chief.
What's the community like? How big is Rogers?
Well, Rogers, from a census standpoint, is about 65 to 70,000 residential population. And we have about 100 to 110 during the day. We're in the four cities that comprise our metropolitan area. We're probably the most diverse in terms of housing stock, the character of the business community. We've got some petrochemical operations. We have business and industry. If you've ever fired a Daisy BB gun, their manufacturing process is in Rogers, Arkansas. And we also have a very strong office community with mid-rise buildings. The part of the Walmart model is that those companies that sell to Walmart, they have to have offices here in order to meet the needs of that very elite retail organization. And so there's a lot of office complexes throughout the city. And of course, we have a lot of residential character, multifamily, single family, multi-million dollar homes. And we've got areas that are at or below the poverty line as well. So just kind of, I always describe us as a big little city or a little big city, one of the two.
Sounds like quite a diverse mix that you have there.
All those things weigh into risk. It's always easy to address risk and be a fire chief if the problems are similar throughout all of the geography of your community. And that's, of course, the challenge I face and the challenge a lot of fire chiefs face is that they have to navigate risk because it's different in the northwest corner versus the southeast and so on and so forth. So it's neat.
So, Tom, what kind of CRR programs are you doing in Rogers?
Well, I think as we've talked before, the interesting thing about community risk reduction in the fire service is the first thing you have to do, and I've been fire chief here for about 8 years, a little over 8 years now, I guess, and the first thing you have to do is, as a leader, you have to figure out what the hell you're talking about, right? And community risk reduction is not something that's in Firefighter 1 and Firefighter 2 curriculum. We do it there, right? There's some elements of risk reduction. We understand personal risk. We understand fire ground strategies to reduce risk to responders and to citizens. But when we talk about this holistic approach to reducing risk in the community, that's not a native idea to fire chiefs. And so for me, when I became chief here, coming from more of an operational and training environment as a deputy chief, I had to learn what that lingo meant. And for me, the best resource there was to work with the Center for Public Safety Excellence, which is the accreditation body for fire and EMS agencies. And in that particular group, they have some curriculum about risk. And so that was really my first indoctrination to understanding what risk was all about, that you had to look at the probability of bad stuff occurring, you had to look at the severity of it when it did occur, and you had to look comprehensively at all the things you do, that too often as fire chiefs, we just get focused on fire stuff. And fire is still, I mean, it's not an extinct or endangered species, right? We still have really bad fires. We just cleared a good apartment fire this morning, but there's a lot more stuff that we do. You know, when the bell goes off, if it goes off 100 times in my city, around 80 to 85 times, those will be for emergency medical incidents. And so risk plays into EMS. It plays in to service-related issues. It plays into fires. And so it was important for me to understand what that was. And without the accreditation model, to understand looking at risk based on all hazards, all geographies, I just would have been clueless. Carrying that forward, we decided that looking at risk and then looking at how we deploy, because it's ultimately the only reason you look at risk is to figure out either how to mitigate it or how you're going to have to respond to it. We decided that the best way to do that for us and Rogers was to pursue the accreditation model and become accredited. And we did that. That was a couple of year process. We were accredited in at Fire Rescue International in Atlanta, Georgia in 2011. And even then, I'd love to tell you that in 2 years, everybody got it, right? But even then, it still took some education. And today, I think that we have an organization that understands that decisions about where fire trucks go or where and how we staff or where our public education emphasis is, I think that you would find our average firefighter understands that risk is part of the decision-making process. And that we work wholeheartedly at trying to identify it. We try to measure it, and we certainly try to reduce and respond to it appropriately. So, it's what we do every day.
And how did that process of selling CRR internally go for you?
I'm fortunate. I'm not going to say that every fire chief would have the same rosy reception I did with, talking about abstract things like risk, which a lot of firefighters view it as that. But when we started talking to our rank and file members about risk, they bought into the idea that data and making decisions and emphasizing programs based on what problems you're seeing and the severity of those problems, they bought in pretty well initially. I think what really has sold our firefighters on community risk reduction is not just the pride of being accredited, not just the pride of having an ISO 1, which we received 18 to 24 months ago, which was due in large part to our CRR efforts. I think what really sold them is when they understood the connection between deployment, that firefighters are by and large very operationally minded. They like big red trucks. They like to go on calls. They like to make a difference. And that when they were able to see staffing improve because we were taking information we gained from CRR and we were applying it to the budget process, I think that's when the light bulb really clicked on for a lot of our folks, because they understood that it wasn't just talking the talk, it was walking the walk. That sure, sometimes the CRR process is about it can be as simple as smoke detector programs, right? That we identify high fire risk in an area, and we, instead of beefing up staffing there to respond to all the fires we predictably are going to have, we try to make those fires smaller, or we try to detect those fires quicker and minimize lost property and life. Well, when they saw that stuff worked, when they saw that our staffing would change, the proof is in the pudding, so to speak, they bought in. And today, you know, we have several firefighters going through some of the National Fire Academy programs, like the Managing Officer Program, and of course the Executive Fire Officer Program. And those people get it. They're in my office wanting to understand how to pull data and what data looks like in their first due areas. They get the segregation of geography and that the risk in Station 4's area might be different than Station 7's area. And I just think that's cool. I think it's neat to have company officers who own the problems in their first due jurisdictions.
How about city administration? Did you have trouble selling it to them? Or as a result of all this, have they seen it in a real positive light?
Well, I guess the best way to answer that question is I'm not sure that if you interviewed my city council that they would know what CRR is, much less community risk reduction spelled out. My mayor is a public safety mayor, and in full disclosure, he was a former law enforcement officer for about a decade, and decided that politics was in his DNA, and he wasn't the mayor that hired me, but he's the mayor I've worked for the longest, going on 7 years. And I was talking to him just the other day I did a formal presentation about emergency medical calls, looking at the volume, the type, where they're occurring, why they're occurring, what we've done to reduce the incidence of these low acuity emergency medical calls, which are all this, you know, that's all CRR, right? That's CRR working for us. And I was giving him this presentation, and the end result was I was going to tell him we need to add an ambulance, and we need to do it differently. We need to move it throughout the day. We need to, because where the problems for EMS calls occur at 8 a.m. are different than 8 p.m. And we were looking at more of a dynamic assignment and deployment of an ambulance, a brand new resource to the city. And it for fire service, you know, where we just generally, if we add an ambulance in most fire departments or fire truck, doesn't matter what the unit looks like, we pretty much pick a station for it to go in based on some data, whether that's anecdotal or whatever. And we leave it there for 24 hours and we staff it all the time. That's just kind of what we do. And so the idea that we might move it during the day to address risk, and that movement might be different on a Monday than a Saturday based on where our parks are, based on where our shopping malls are, based on where the amphitheater is and whether it's summer or winter, that was a little out of the box. Now, I would argue the private sector would have figured it out years ago because they would have had to make money doing it. But for us, CRR was about deploying the risk, so we were hitting a target every time with this resource. And at the end of that conversation with my boss, he said, "Tom, what I like about the fire department is everything you do has data behind it. And everything you do is for not just a good reason, it's for multiple good reasons, that you've looked at just a wide spectrum of evidence to deploy resources." And so what that told me, there's probably no finer compliment I've had in my career than a senior elected official saying, "I like that when you all in the fire department bring me a problem, and every time I bring him a problem, I've got a solution with it, right? And all of my solutions undoubtedly have a price tag." And to have him say, "You all always provide us data, it's defendable, it's been well thought out," and ultimately that ties into CRR, because the only reason we're doing this, right, is that we have a good idea of where our risk is, what it is, when it's going to occur. I thought, wow, that's fantastic, because maybe not one of the primary or even secondary benefits of CRR, but maybe a tertiary benefit is that I think it's made us kind of galvanized to our elected officials, to the people that set our budget, that they understand that because we assess risk, because we look at different deployment strategies to address it, because we because we measure and improve, and then we measure again and improve, I think it's made us galvanized for budget time, and it's increased our reputation, and that's a good thing in city government.
So you've used the word data a number of times through our conversation so far. I guess data is pretty darn important when it comes to CRR.
Yeah, I would say it has to be in the DNA of CRR, that we have to be able to quantify. Too often, fire chiefs and and decision makers and fire and EMS agencies tend to rely on anecdotal evidence in how they do things and how they justify things in front of city councils and boards. And I've worked for agencies that would even kind of make fun of the fire chief. They'd say, oh, I guess we better buy a fire truck or else babies are going to die. Because that was just kind of the battle cry for all fire chiefs. Give me what I want or else somebody's going to die. And I think CRR, because it requires the use of data, you have to be able, you can show problem areas, you can show what the problems are. I mean, it has a definition that applies to everything we do. I think, that's really one of the first steps, I suppose, in true CRR is being able to count, to measure the outputs of what you do, and then hopefully over time, really looking at outcomes. That do we see improvement? I know when we started really looking at cardiac arrest survivability in the city, which was another CRR thing, right? That we found that one of the metrics, we did a lot of things from a response standpoint really, really well. We had good response times. We're about a 40 square mile city. And with seven stations, that's pretty dense coverage. And so we had good response times. We had good time to access the patient. We had all these good metrics, but our cardiac arrest survivability was still not what it should be. And one of the things we started counting that we weren't counting before the CRR process was we started looking at bystander CPR, and we started looking at availability of public automatic external defibrillators. And those were really things that have made a big difference over time, is that once we started counting those things, we were able to intelligently go, wow, you know, our bystander CPR rate is 7%. That's embarrassing. And so with some public education, with some community involvement, with some advertising on billboards to learn CPR, with some elbow grease, to put it kind of plainly, we've been able to take that to some years, it's over 40% now. And that has, of course, made a difference in the outcome of cardiac arrest survivability in our city. That's grandparents going to soccer games and parents going to high school graduations that wouldn't have before. And I think all of that ties into data related to CRR. So I think it's been a big success story for us.
Do you think that CRR also ties into firefighter safety?
I do. Of course, anytime we're looking at risk, and I think it's correct to do so. We oftentimes think of our constituents, the citizens that we serve, the old and the young, men and women, those that speak English, those that are native with other languages. And so we focus on those because a lot of times we're talking about deployment. But of course, firefighter safety is an important corollary to all of that. For instance, I think one of the best examples for our department was through the community risk reduction process and developing a standard of cover, we identified geographic zones within our city that we just couldn't put an NFPA 1710 compliant response force on the scene within a reasonable amount of time. And because we did CRR and knew what the predominant risk in that area was, because we knew what the frequency of problems were there, and because we were able to go through the standards of cover process, which is the sister to CRR, we were able to definitively say there, on the best of days, we will never provide for good citizen safety, putting out their fire, rescuing them, according to industry best practices, much less firefighter safety. Those go hand in hand. And if you're working short on an incident scene for an extended amount of time. And so that caused us in July of 2013, we added a full-time heavy rescue company in the city, and something we hadn't done before. And we moved, like most departments, we have most of our staffing day in and day out is three-person staffing on fire companies, but we are able to have four-person staffing on some of the companies. And we used to make those decisions as to who got the fourth person, because it couldn't be all the companies. We used to make those decisions kind of based on the opinion of the shift commander, of the battalion chief. And that probably worked out sometimes, but it wasn't grounded in data. It wasn't grounded in any kind of arithmetic that made sense. And it might be different Monday than it would be Thursday as to where those extra people went on the shift. And so we were able to look and through that process go, you know, we need to put those extra people where we're going to need them, which doesn't necessarily mean the busy companies. It just means the companies that may have trouble getting, you know, third and fourth in companies to get there in a reasonable time. And so the end result, you know, if you just look at bread in, toast out, the end result here is that we staff more intelligently than we ever have because of this model. And so that helps, you know, staffing to me is that's got to be in the top three things that impact firefighter safety, right? That if we were to go read a lot of NIOSH reports, there's no shortage of them that say there was an inadequate amount of firefighters on scene to affect and address all the problems that were there. And so we've made staffing changes that today allow us to comply with industry best practices in FPA 1710 and specifically. And because of that, we can provide rapid intervention on the incident scene. We can we have enough people to do a thorough and quick primary and secondary search. And so, firefighter safety is a beneficiary of all this effort.
Do you see CRR as kind of a growing movement across the country? I mean, you're on the national scene through IFC. Do you see more departments and fire chiefs talking about it?
I think so. That's always difficult. You know, I think you tend to socialize with like-minded people. So admittedly, I have a bias that I want to see it that way. I want to believe that fire chiefs are following the CRR trend, that we're trying to elevate our profession. I think that there's evidence of that it's not just my opinion. I look even just regionally with fire chiefs around me and accreditation. There were fire chiefs couldn't spell accreditation around here 10 years ago probably. And that's not a knock on Arkansas. That's just fire chiefs in general, right? And now I'm confident that there are no fewer than a half dozen agencies within a reasonable radius that 5 years ago, 10 years ago, didn't know anything about accreditation, that today are going through that process. And while accreditation, you don't have to go through accreditation to do CRR, but to be accredited, you have to do CRR. And so that is that is some tangible proof that departments are getting on board, both big and small, combination, career. And I think when I socialize with people, the playing field has changed, that because we've lived through cutback environments, because departments have begun to see what law enforcement does with police decision-making being data-driven, I think CRR is just going to be part of the game, and that fire chiefs who choose to ignore it or choose to rely on anecdotal evidence or evidence that's based on no facts at all, they're going to be left behind. That the days of fire chiefs being able to be rabble-rousers and bang on the city manager or mayor's desk, depending on their governance structure, I think those are over. I think that because of information dissemination and the internet and that sort of thing, that the people that we report to as fire chiefs are going to expect us to have intelligent, well thought out, data driven solutions to the problems we identify, and so that is going to drive it to continue to be more prevalent. But yes, I think it is catching on. I think it is more popular, and to me, the accreditation numbers are what speak to that.
What's the IFC's take on CRR?
Well, we believe in it. We obviously are. We've had our hands in the accreditation model from day one, having formed from a committee of the IAFC, and everything that the IAFC does is driven towards reducing risk in our communities, and is certainly also focused on firefighter safety and making fire chiefs more effective. And if you attend conferences like FRI, there's no shortage of of educational opportunities related to CRR. If you get on the IAFC's website, there are things that complement it. And so we're an association that is all about making fire chiefs successful and harnessing good ideas that fire chiefs have come up with and disseminating that information to our membership. And so, we're behind it. It's not the IAFC has a wonderful feature for its members called KnowledgeNet, which is really just a bulletin board, online bulletin board. But with fire chiefs, that oftentimes we're faced with such technical problems that we don't have a lot of time to solve them. And that KnowledgeNet community, every now and then I will see questions about CRR specifically or CRR related issues. And so we're behind the effort, and we want to see it continue to be part of just the normal everyday operating language of our fire chiefs and even our fire departments, right? But there's nothing better than walking into a group of firefighters on B platoon at station, whatever, and hearing them talk about risk and how to address it around the kitchen table. And so, yeah, it's something we're behind.
I have a fill in the blank question for you.
Okay.
If you're talking with one of your peers, how would you finish this sentence? You should do CRR because...
I think I would say that you should do CRR because it's the right thing to do. That for all the reasons we've talked about, firefighter safety, being able to quantify risk and maybe even become accredited, maybe you become galvanized and you create a heat shield to the appropriators within your local city or district. For all those reasons are fine, but fundamentally we became fire chiefs not for the money. We didn't become fire chiefs for fame and fortune. We became fire chiefs to make a difference at a local level, that we want to save lives. And as fire chiefs, we don't save lives by, and there are certainly exceptions to this, but for most of us as fire chiefs, we don't save lives by pulling people out of burning buildings anymore or doing CPR on a frequent basis. We save lives by making decisions and allocating resources and having a little bit of political savvy to get the things that our departments and our firefighters need to do their job. And CRR to me is just the right thing to do. It's the practice that I think we've been missing. We've always been, just like I talked about firefighters being operationally driven, well, that's how fire departments have historically been. We like to go to fires. We like to solve problems. Even when we take on EMS, a lot of our EMS providers in the fire department, they don't mind making bad EMS calls. But we have to shift our mindset to prevent these emergencies, to look at the probability and the frequency of bad things happening, and understand the whole scope of ways that we can address those problems. And so I think that for all the listeners, it's just time to do the right thing. That CRR is something that will help our communities. It may help us respond less, or if we do respond, make the magnitude of that particular incident not as severe. And it's just something we need to be doing.
Well, we've been talking with Tom Jenkins, who's the fire chief out in Rogers, Arkansas, and also vice president of the IFC, about how they're doing CRR out there in Rogers and the role that it plays with ISO and CPSC. So sounds like you're doing a lot of great stuff, Tom, and thanks for sharing it with us.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed the chat, and I look forward to listening to it.
To learn more about community risk reduction and the Vision 2020 project, be sure to visit us at www.strategicfire.org. And thanks for listening.